Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. The song that we're singing this week did not begin as a poem and then music added later. Nope. This song began as a tune, and this is the story behind it. Mrs. Joseph Knapp had written a tune in 1873. She really liked the tune, but it didn't have any words to the song. Well, one day, she was visiting her friend, Fanny Crosby. Mrs. Knapp played the tune for Fanny and saw that Fanny really liked it. So Mrs. Knapp asked her, she said, "Would you be willing to write some words for this song?" Mrs. Knapp played the song a second time, and when she did, she looked over and saw Miss Fanny kneeling in prayer. Then, as she started to play the song a third time, Miss Fanny started dictating the words to the song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Hey, boys and girls, we have a big story today. Do you like sailing? Have you ever been on a boat? Well, when I was a teenager, my dad decided to get a boat. It was kind of his lifelong dream because he grew up with a boat when he was a kid. And so we would go out on the boat. We would go water skiing and wakeboarding and kneeboarding. And we had a lot of fun on this boat. But there were times when we would get broken down. Now, broken down, at least when you're on a lake, you can just kind of wave to somebody and they come over and they can tow you back to shore. Well, Paul was in trouble because he was on a ship and it wasn't broken down. Well, I guess technically it was, but it was falling apart because the storm was tearing it to pieces. The waves were beating and crashing against it. The mast was breaking. They were in trouble. And there was no one around to help. At least, no one that anyone could see. Who always knows where we are and what we're doing? Jesus, you're right. Well, we are going to bow our heads and pray for God's Spirit to be with us, and then we'll jump into this story. Get it? Jump in? Like water? Yeah, I know. I thought that was kind of funny, huh? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you that we get to open up your word and learn more about the story of Paul and how you gave him perfect peace and perfect trust and that you were there for him. Be there for us, just like you were for him. Help us to trust you and rely on you, even in the hard times or the scary times. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul and the other prisoners were sailing on a ship to Rome. Julius, the Roman officer with them, was a centurion. Do you know what a centurion is? Have you ever heard of the word century? Century, it means 100 years. Well, a centurion comes from the same root word, and it means that he was in charge of 100 soldiers. They had to change ships at one port, and by the time they got to the port of Fairhavens, winter was coming on. What happens when winter comes on? Do you know? Usually there's storms. In fact, when we lived in Michigan and my parents lived in California, oftentimes we would fly on an airplane to go back to my parents' house to visit. And my husband's family lives in California, so we would visit them too. The only problem is in the wintertime, especially around Christmas, at least in the northern hemisphere, Christmas is in the wintertime. And when it's wintertime, there are storms. Sometimes there can be these winter storms where it covers the planes in ice and the runway is covered in ice and they can't take off and they can't land. And so they just shut down the airport. They say no flights are going in or out until this storm is over. And people get stuck there at the airport. Well, that's what was happening here for Paul and for the centurion, Julius, and the other prisoners. Only they weren't on an airplane and they weren't going to fly anywhere. They were on a ship. And this ship was about to sail, but winter was coming and it was getting dangerous. Why was it dangerous? Well, because when the storms would come, number one, it would batter the ships so that they might break apart or spring a leak and sink. But another reason is because the sailors, with the clouds covering the sky, the sailors could not navigate. They wouldn't know where to go and how to get there. Well, it was dangerous. And Paul had told everyone that they should stay in Fairhavens through the winter. But you know what? Even though the centurion wanted to listen to Paul, and he really respected Paul, he went with the majority because everybody else said, you know, this isn't a good place to spend the winter. Who wants to stay here? Let's go on to a better port. So that's what they did. They sailed on. Everything went fine. Clear sailing, clear skies. Oh, it was wonderful. But then a strong wind began to blow. And it blew harder and harder. It blew the ship and the sailors couldn't control it anymore. They were at the mercy of the storm. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 9 through 15. We're going to read Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 15. So we're going to read 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. That's 7 verses. We're really going to get an idea for this story, aren't we? All right, so go to Acts. It's in the New Testament, chapter 27, right at the end of the book of Acts. And then we're going to start at verse 9. Let's read that together.
Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ships, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose, called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive.
The ship had been pulling their only lifeboat, and the sailors managed to pull it up to a safe place. Otherwise, it could have been ripped off, and they would have had no lifeboat. That wouldn't have been good, would it? Then they put ropes around the ship to try to hold it together, and when the storm became even worse, they threw the heavy things into the sea to make the ship lighter. Because what happens is when a ship is heavy and it has a lot of heavy things, it sinks lower in the water. So if you have big waves and the ship is lower in the water, the waves can just roll over the deck or go into the ship and end up sinking it. Well, nothing was helping. Look at verse 16, 17, 18, and 19. Acts chapter 27. We're going to start at 16. We ended at 15. Now we're going to read verse 16 through 19.
And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured this gift with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. And fearing lest they should run aground on the Sirtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands.
For 2 whole weeks, the strong wind tossed the ship around on the wild waves. It seemed that they would all drown. But what did Paul tell them? Look at verses 20 through 25. 20 through 25. Acts chapter 27, verses 20 through 25.
Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me, and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of lives among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you.' Therefore, take heart, man, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me."
I love it how Paul's like, "Hey guys, I told you so. You should have listened. Like, now we're in trouble. But don't worry. Not one life will be lost. It's okay. An angel of God, whom I belong to, whom I serve, said, 'Don't be afraid. God has granted you and all those who sail with you.'" So in other words, Paul's saying, an angel appeared to me and said, not one of us are going to die. So it's okay. Paul warned them that their ship would run into ground on the island, but they didn't have to worry because they would be safe. Sure enough, that night the sailors could tell that they were near land. Let's read verses 26 through 29. Verses 26 through 29, Acts chapter 27, and then let's start with 26.
"However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped for anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come."
They're trying desperately. How are we going to navigate the shallow water and the rough waves and the storm, and how are we going to do it all? And as they're figuring this out, guess what? The sailors made a secret plan to leave the ship. They pretended that they were just letting down the anchors, but really they were letting down the lifeboat so that they could get in it and try to escape and save their own lives and not worry about anyone else. Did Paul see that happening? Yes, he did. And he knew what would happen if those sailors carried out their plan. He knew that they would be in trouble. They needed those sailors to help them with this ship. Look at verse 30 and 31.
"And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved."
Do you think that Satan wanted that ship to be destroyed? To sink? Yes, he did. Oh, but how was Paul feeling in all of this? When you read it, what's the idea that you get? Is he scared and is he afraid and is he hiding? Or is he confident and trusting in God? He is. He is trusting in God. He is praying for the crew to be saved. He is being a strong soldier for Christ. Wow. I know I want to be like that, don't you? When there's tough times that happen, I want to be the one that stands for the right and that helps those around me. Let's pray that Jesus gives us the same boldness, the same courage, the same trust that Paul had. Lord, please be with us. Help us to be like Paul. Help us to trust in you, even when scary times come, to know that you are there with us. We're so thankful for your care and your love. Be with us today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm 91:15.
I will be with him in trouble, in trouble, in trouble. I will be with him in trouble, Psalm 91:15. I will be with him in trouble, in trouble, in trouble. I will be with him in trouble, Psalm 91:15.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.